this hymn that we just sang. Is it on? Good. This hymn we just sang is really a prayer, a very fitting prayer for us in these days at this time. Begins, "Remove the veils, Lord, from my heart."
Amen.
May the Lord give us an unveiled heart.
Amen.
True revelation grant to me. A vision clear, O Lord, impart of thy recovery.
Amen.
May he give us a clear vision of his recovery. By revelation, I perceive the power that raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
When I, by faith, this power receive, I am led to the church.
Amen.
The resurrection power of Christ experience leads us to the church.
Amen.
Now, the burden for this recent iteral was the recovery of the church. Thy mighty power has set me free from all the world's distracting things. Praise the Lord. We're brought an entrance to the local church. Once in the local church, I need to take you as my person. Lord, my outward man, each day. To be in the Lord's recovery is something for each day. We need our outward man receding. Stanza 5, I take thee as my person, Lord.
Amen.
I have been crucified with thee.
Amen.
For the recovery of the church, he has given us his crucifixion. My inner man has been restored. I'm now indwelt by thee.
Amen.
He is the one in us. When all thy members self forsake, thy glorious body, Lord, is known. We have self or the body, not both. When of thy person we partake, the one new man is shown. The body is a matter of his life. The one new man is a matter of his person. The church life is the one new man in every local church expressed. Thy body is a corporate man, one person manifest. This is a very good hymn for us to use in our time with the Lord, for our fellowship with him, even for our digestion and absorption of the burden of this training. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, we have the following. To me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel, and to enlighten all that they may see.
Amen.
That they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that now, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church.
Amen.
According to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
So these four verses are such a treasure. In each verse, consider verse 8, we have the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
Verse 9, the economy of the mystery. We have the riches of Christ, the economy of the mystery, the plan concerning what has been hidden in God's heart. in order that now, in verse 10, something could be made known through the church. And this being made known through the church is according to something. It's according to the eternal purpose, which he made in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have the riches of Christ, the economy of the mystery, God's economy, the church, and the eternal purpose. In these verses, may the Lord grant us revelation and an unveiled heart. So in this conference material, the burden, the overall subject, the general subject is the recovery of the church. And last night, Brother Manaro referred us to messages 1 and 2, and I'd just like to touch on a few of these points very quickly in a very brief way. In message 1, which is on page 6, this is seeing God's eternal purpose concerning the church and enlightening all concerning the economy of the mystery hidden in God. Roman number 1, in order to participate, may we all participate in the recovery of the church, we need to see God's eternal purpose concerning the church. So here's the point. There are just two Roman numerals in this outline. One is that we could see for participation. We don't just want to be observing. We want to be the participants participating in the recovery of the church. We don't just want to be going along with the recovery of the church. We want to be participants in the advance of this recovery. So we need to see. Lord, grant us to see. Amen. Roman numeral 2, having seen, we need to enlighten all. This was the apostles' burden, that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Then in message 2, which is on page 12, we have three points: the original condition of the church, the degradation of the church, and the recovery of the church. The original condition of the church, which was glorious, did not last long. Degradation came in very quickly before the end of the first century. And then, since that time, there has been a recovery of the church. This word recovery implies something that was there originally was lost, and that needs to be recovered. So something concerning the church that was there from the beginning very quickly was lost, and since that time, in God's economy, that is being recovered. So not that the Lord in himself needs any recovery, but the church needs to be recovered. Amen. The recovery of the church. Right. Satan came into damage, but God is recovering. Amen. God is recovering the church. Now today, well, before we do that, on page 13, Roman numeral 3, I'd just like to read this point. In order to recognize the need for the recovery of the church, we need to know the original condition of the church and the degradation. So just here in point A, we have the original condition of the church had the following characteristics. One, in the original church, there was no hierarchy among the believers. Point two, the early church was completely separated from the world. It was in the world, but not of the world. Point three, the original church forsook idols and fully allowed God to speak. Point four, there was only one church, one expression of the body of Christ in a locality. Five, the churches were one in fellowship, but each was independent in administration, and there was no head church or federation. Point six, the churches honored Christ as the head and allowed the Holy Spirit to have authority. So this summarizes the original condition. Then point B is the degradation. The degradation of the church involved hierarchy, union with the world, idols, divisions, not allowing God to speak, having organization for unification, and usurping the headship of Christ and encroaching on the authority of the Holy Spirit. So that's the degradation. Then in point four, just very briefly, the recovery of the church has been gradual and progressive. We can see that it began in point A before the end of the first century. This is when the recovery of the church began. Before the end of the first century, then in the 16th century, Martin Luther rose up and something began at that time. That was October 31st, 1517. So it's just 500 years ago, about 10 or 11 days ago. It's the 500th anniversary of the posting of the 95 Theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. But we're not here to go back to Luther. We're here to complete what he began. Amen. We want to see a full recovery. Point C, in the 18th century, Zinzendorf was raised up to take a further step in the recovery of the church life. And D, the brothers in England were raised up by the Lord. And then in point E, we need to see our own history, what the Lord began among us in the almost 100 years ago in the early 20th century. So this gives a very brief summary of the recovery of the church. Now this morning we want to continue in message 5. Message 5 is on page 38. The recovery of the church. And this message is on the recovery of the church life. When I returned from being in Europe and was considering what to share with the church in Worcester, where I am, I tried to have something succinct, absorbable, and inclusive. And I came up with three words: advance in recovery. I felt what I witnessed, what the Lord was presenting to us, was advance in recovery. Advance in what had begun. Advance in three levels. Advance in what the Lord had begun in 1517 with Martin Luther. That was a significant beginning. And I felt the burden on the Lord's heart was there would be an advance from that to the completion, that there could be a full recovery. Second point, I felt the Lord was burdened for an advance in the recovery of the church life in Germany in particular, that there could be advance in recovery. The enemy came in to do something there that had begun in the 1970s, and then the enemy came in less than 20 years later, maybe 15 years later, opposing and troubling and tearing down what had begun. But now, praise the Lord, we are witnessing a recovery. Amen. So the Lord was burdened for advance in recovery of the church life in Germany. Amen. And then the third aspect that I felt the Lord was and is speaking to us is an advance in recovery of the church and the church life in our being. The Lord's not satisfied that we would only see something. He wants to advance in our being, in the recovery of the church, and in the recovery of the church life in particular. We can't say, oh, praise the Lord, I'm in the Lord's recovery. Well, in a sense, that's true. It does have an extrinsic manifestation to be in the Lord's recovery and to be in the church life. But the real recovery is inward. God's ultimate move is actually a move in man. He first moved from the heavens into a man in a very normal way. By the way of conception, he was incarnated to be a man. And he lived out a kind of life on the earth that expressed God and represented God. This was the beginning of God's move in man. And God has continued his move in man. God's move is in man. Not only through man, but in man. God wants to move into men for a corporate expression of himself. This is the church life. The church life is not a matter of activities and events and certain practices. The church life is a person. It's the recovery of the church life, the particular burden in this message. There is a life, and the life that can live the church life is he himself, the Lord himself, the first one in whom God moved. He has become the one to live out this life. In him we really see practice and exercise. As Brother Minora shared last night, the recovery of the church life is to apply what has been seen, is to exercise and to practice it. This is the recovery of the church life. And it's altogether related to this person. Before, point one, before the Lord Jesus comes back, he will fully recover the proper church life. In Germany, we saw three statuses of the church. The church is the body, the church is the one new man, and the church is the bride. These statuses will all be consummated before he comes back. But he will fully recover the proper church life. In Matthew 16, 18, after Peter had this revelation concerning who he was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You now have the office of God's anointed one to carry something out, and you have the life. You are the Son of the living God. So he told Peter, yes, Peter, you see that I am the anointed one, that I am the life. Why? I will build my church. So in this revelation, we see that the building of the church is altogether a matter related to him. And it's a matter of him. I will build my church. Amen. My church. Amen. My church. Amen. This past summer, my grandson told me, Grandpa, I'm going to build a computer. Oh, wow. How are you going to do that? Oh, I ordered this from there and something else from somewhere else, and I'm ordering all these components, and then I'm going to build a computer. I said, oh, you're going to build a computer? He said, yeah, how? Oh, I have a brother who's going to help me. I said, okay. Then next visit, he said, Grandpa, I want to show you my computer. It really was my computer. He built it. The Lord said, I will build my church. What is in his heart? His church. His church is in his heart. We say, Lord Jesus, I love you. The Lord says, yes, I love you. I love my church. You love me? Love my church. What's in my heart is my church. Not your church. It's his church. He said, I will build my church. Well, if you have your own church, be assured it's not what he's building. He said, I will build my church. Amen. We are all here participants in the building of the universal church by being in the practical building in a local church. But it is not our church. It is his church.
Amen.
We are not the builders in a sense. We are the participants in his building work.
Amen.
I will build. He says, I will build my church.
Amen.
Nothing point A, nothing touches the Lord's heart as much as the recovery of the church life. The recovery of the church life. In this present age, before his coming back, the Lord must have the church life to shame his enemy. No matter what Satan does to damage the church, the Lord Jesus will return.
Amen.
And his church will be waiting for him. His church will be waiting for him. Then Roman numeral 2. The church life is Christ lived out through us in a corporate way. The church life is Christ. When we consider what is the church life, someone asks you, oh, what is church life? We may think of many things. We think of practices, events, activities, all kinds of things. What is the church life? The church life is Christ living. For a corporate expression, this is the church life. So if we ask, oh, are you in the church life? Say, oh Lord, am I in the church life? Are you living in me? Are you living out through me? This is what the church life is. It is Christ. He is the anointed one, and he is the life. He who has the Son has the life. We have both the person and we have the life. He who has the Son has the life for the living of the church life. The church life, point A, is a life. Isn't that good? The church life is a life in which we take Christ as our life and our person. This is the church life. Well, see, this, the burden here, the recovery of the church life is altogether something intrinsic, inward, and experiential. It's a matter of Christ as our life and also as our person. And we'll get more into this, I believe, in future messages this weekend. The Christian life is not a religious life. It is a life that is Christ himself lived out through us. Point C, when we live Christ, he joins us together in oneness, and Christ will be lived out through us in a corporate way. And this is typified in the building of the tabernacle with the boards of the tabernacle standing side by side, but their oneness, their being united, is in the gold that covers them, that overlays them, and in the bars that unite them. So we need a lot of gold, brothers. We need an adequate amount of gold. Sometimes something happens to us, we develop a problem, or they're some faction, some tension. Maybe our gold was too thin. We don't just want to be gilded with gold, but we want to be overlaid with gold. Our oneness is in the gold. If we don't have enough overlaying of divinity added to our being, we are short of oneness. The more gold we have, the more we enjoy the oneness. Then point D, and here is a key point. Christ himself is our life, and he is the Spirit within us. The church life is Christ himself realized as life and as the life-giving Spirit dwelling in us. So he's our life. And we realize he is realized as life and as the life-giving Spirit dwelling in us. in three verses in the Bible tell us that Christ is in us. Romans 8:10, Galatians 2:20, it is Christ who lives in us. And 2 Corinthians 13:5, I'd just like to read that verse, 2 Corinthians, or part of that verse, the middle part of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. In this verse, it says in the middle, "Or do you not realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" We consider the church in Corinth, and we know the kind of people that were in Corinth, by the kind of people and the problems that came up in the church life there. That was a very dark city, but there was a church there, the Church of God, Amen. Which is in Corinth. This was there. And this is at the end of the second epistle, written to the church in Corinth. And there the apostle says, "Or do you not realize?" Realize. I believe the King James maybe do you not know or don't you know. But actually, this word is realize. Do you not realize? For you, I may know something, but not realize it experientially, not realize it in my being. So do you not realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Jesus Christ is in you. There is a thought, even the teaching among some Christians, that Christ is not in you, but he's represented by the Spirit in you. But the Bible tells us clearly, explicitly, in these three verses, Christ is in you. Amen. Christ is in you. Amen. Jesus Christ is in you. Amen. The one who builds the church, the one who is the life, is in you. The recovery of the church life is the recovery of the living of this person. Amen. Living in us. Amen. The recovery of the church life. Or do you not realize, brothers, about yourselves? About yourselves. Don't you realize? About yourself? Brothers, Jesus Christ is in you. Amen. Not only a representative of Christ, he himself, Jesus Christ, is in you. Amen. Do you not realize about yourselves? Brothers, may we realize, may this be made real to us in our experience. We have a person in us. The recovery of the church life is the living out of this life. Not a representative life, but the person himself living again, expressed through a corporate people. God had an expression of himself in an individual, but he went to the cross and died and rose. In resurrection, he became the Spirit. Now, and then he breathed himself into us. He himself is now the one in us. Don't you realize? May we all realize that Jesus Christ is in us. Amen. Yes, he is on the throne in the heavens, but he is in us. Amen. Jesus Christ is in us. Amen. This is the recovery of the church life. Amen. That this one would not only be our life, but our person. Amen. For the living of the church life. Amen. For the recovery of the church life. Amen. We may consider, how can we live the church life? It's so good this morning, standing here, seeing brothers from all over Canada, all over the earth. from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of experiences before knowing Christ, before coming into the church life. How could we live the church life? We have a person. Amen. That's how we live the church life. We have a person living in us.
Amen.
You may consider, well, your personal history may be compounded, complex with different factors. When I was sitting there during the training in Germany, I thought, oh, I am of German ancestry, emigrated to Canada from France, and then born and raised, lived here in Canada for about 40 years. Then, under God's arrangement, I moved to the United States, where I've been now for more than 25 years. Not only in the United States, in New England. What kind of life? You say, oh, you're so varied. Your life is so varied. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church with my family every week and sometimes more than once a week, usually just once a week. And then I went to a Lutheran university, the president of which was a Mennonite. And being a Lutheran school, everyone had to take a course in religion. And I remember the professor telling us about the Bible. He was talking about the crossing of the Red Sea. It didn't really happen. They just got stuck in the mud with their chariots. Well, you say, wow, you have such a rich background, so many different kinds of experiences. You can fit into anything. You know, we come from so many backgrounds, praise the Lord. And so we can all be here now. Isn't it wonderful that we are the one new man? We can be here in the church life. None of these lives are good for the church life. No part of your background, no part of your experience, no part of your history outside of Christ has any part in the recovery of the church life. For the recovery of the church life, what we have and what we are all has the same destiny, the cross of Christ. So we have a life, a person within us, to live the church life, and what we are in Adam, God has provided a way, a termination, crossing it out.
Amen.
All of our history outside of Christ has no place in the church life. No matter what your background, there's no place here for you. There's no place for you in the church life. There's only one person in the church life. Many believers, but one person. And the life of that person, the recovery of the living of that person, is the recovery of the church life.
Amen.
This is the church life we desire. The living of this person. Then, the way to practice. Isn't this a good point? We all want to know how to practice the church life. Is to put ourselves and everything on the cross and take Christ as life, then we will be permeated and saturated by Christ and with Christ. Galatians 2:20 is referenced here. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified. How to practice the church life? I am crucified with Christ.
Amen.
But I don't disappear. The life which I now live, right? I am crucified with Christ. It is Christ who lives in me. Oh, I'm still here. The life which I now live, I live in faith, by faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself up for me. So I am still here. Me is still here, but it's a new me. the old me, the old I, who used to be my person, is now crucified. He is crucified. But I live, I'm still here, but not with the old I as my person, but with Christ living in me. Christ is living in us. Do you not realize about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? We are different. We are really different. We are a different people. We have Jesus Christ in us. We have this God-man with his life who expressed God, represented God. This one is living in us. So we can live the church life.
Amen.
And we put ourselves and everything we are on the cross. I am crucified.
Amen.
How can I live in the church life? How do I practice the church life? I am crucified. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't this a good way to practice the church life?
Amen.
How can we practice the church life? How can we come together in this kind of way? I am crucified.
Amen.
Right? And I have another life living. I have another one dwelling in me. So we need to be inward Christians who are being transformed for the practice of the church life. We need to be inward Christians. We need to be those beholding him, reflecting him, being transformed by the renewing of the mind. If we read these verses referenced here in Romans chapter 12, verses 2 to 21, this is a description of a transformed person living the church life. We consider all the virtues listed here. Who could live them? Only this one. But he is in us, brothers. He can live out these virtues. But not if I remain in the way. If I am the one living, he cannot live the church life. We may sometimes get tired. Oh, so this, so that, and oh. Well, brothers, you cannot go on. You cannot live the church life. Only the way to practice is to live the crucified life. And let him live. He loves the church life.
Amen.
He loves the church.
Amen.
And his life is fitting. And is the only life that can practice the church life.
Amen.
We let him live. The church life is Christ himself. As the Spirit, permeating, saturating, and transforming us. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. Oh, Father, grant, Paul prayed, grant you a spirit, grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into your inner man, that Christ may make home in your hearts. When we are letting this one live and something happens, Someone may say something to us. We may hear something. We may get bothered, maybe offended, uncomfortable. What do? The transformed person says, oh, Father, grant this dear brother to be strengthened with power through your Spirit into his inner man. No condemnation, no criticism, but a prayer for this one to be strengthened into Christ.
Amen.
This is our shortage. This is my shortage. This is your shortage. We need more strengthening into our inner man.
Amen.
Our inner man is Christ.
Amen.
Christ himself. Or do you not realize, is this not made real to you, Paul says, about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you. The church life is a transformed life, not a natural life. It is Christ himself as the subjective spirit living within us. I just love all these definitions of what is the church life. Point one, the church life is Christ himself. Point two, the church life is a transformed life. It is Christ himself. Point three, the more we are transformed and filled with Christ, the more we will be living, real, and practical members of Christ and realize the genuine church life. We want the genuine church life to become real to us. Point four, if we are transformed, it will be easy for us to be joined, knit, and built up together with others. This is to be built up in the church life. So we can pray, Lord, transform me for the church life. I feel the Lord is really presenting a burden to us in these days, in all things, to be for the church life, to be for the body in our living, even our transformation, our growth in life. Lord, grow in me for the church life. Lord, transform me for the church life. You may be like me if we have a failure, a discouragement. I say, oh, Lord, I need your transformation. But it's in the context, conceptually, of just living naturally in myself. Not with the realization, transformation is for the church life. If we don't have a failure, we may think we're okay. But we're not okay. We need to be transformed for the church life. Transformation, brothers, is for the church life. I need more transformation so I can participate more in the recovery of the church life. If I stop, my participation in the recovery of the church life stops. If my transformation ceases, then I'm no longer advancing, participating in the recovery of the church life. The recovery is a dynamic thing. It's been going on for centuries. And for us experientially, for our participation, it's something living, ongoing, to have this one transform us in the spirit of our mind. The leading part of our soul for his expression corporately in the church life and through the church. Now we come to Roman numeral 3. The genuine experience of Christ always issues in and requires the church life. I don't know what the history of your individual Christian life has been, but our individual Christian lives have all led us here. We're all here today. And whether we were born into a church family, whether we were contacted by a friend, a neighbor, the gospel was preached to us on our campus, at some point we began an individual experience of Christ. At some point. And the more we experienced Christ, the more something within us began to seem to want to go somewhere. And we didn't know where. We didn't know what. What's happening in me? We didn't realize we had a person in us. But this person in us was wanting to go somewhere. There was a goal. He had a goal. He has a goal. So our individual experiences eventually led us here. The more we experienced Christ and enjoyed Christ, the more desire there was for something we didn't know what it was. And this was my testimony. I received the Lord when I was 11 years old. Really regenerated. I remember those days very well. An 11-year-old. But then, through the years, discouragement, not many experiences of Christ. And then when I was in university, the Lord stirred up my spirit again. And actually before then, we traveled, visiting different places. Brother Gerald knows a little bit of our history, of our seeking for 2 years, visiting different places, different things. For 1 year, this. Year two. Becoming parts of one small group, that didn't satisfy. Going to another group, that didn't satisfy. Eventually, the Lord brought us to the church life. And the person was satisfied. The inner person was happy. He said, this is where I've been trying to go. This is this point. The genuine experience of Christ always issues in and requires the church life. Amen. The Lord Jesus wants to be in the church life.
Amen.
He wants to live in you in the church life.
Amen.
For a corporate expression of himself.
Amen.
He wants to be expressed corporately. This is what he wants to do. So the more we experience him, the more we will be in the church life.
Amen.
Our experience of Christ issues in the church life and requires the church life. And we could see this typified in the experience and the life of Jacob in the Old Testament. He got a vision in chapter 28 of Genesis. He said, wow, this is Bethel, the house of God. He was running away from his brother, and probably most of us know the account. He laid down using a stone for a pillow, and he had a dream. Wow, angels ascending and descending. He set up the stone, anointed it. He said, this is Bethel. This is the house of God. I believe many of us have had this experience. We came here. Whoa, this is the church. This is the church life. And we told our friends, our relatives, oh, I found the church. I said, what are you talking about? You found the church. Didn't you grow up going to church every week? Right? No, I found the church. I see the church. What do you mean you see the church? This is Bethel. We had a dream. We saw the heavens and the earth were joined. And we saw a divine fellowship between the heavens and the earth. We thought, wow, this is great. And then away he went. Jacob just went on. Oh, this was great. And he just lived his individual life. Many of us may be like this. We see the church. Oh, now, oh, praise the Lord, I'm here in the church. And we just carry on living, still living our own life under this dream, under this vision. So God arranged a very particular circumstance for Jacob. His sons got him in trouble. And then he built an altar at Shechem. You know, at first time at Bethel, he said, this is the house of God, no altar. But then, after he got some trouble, then he built an altar to the God of Israel. Elohi Israel, maybe. He built an altar to the God of Israel. Who was Israel? He was. He built an altar to the God of himself. His individual experience. But then, after that, he came to Bethel again. And this time he built an altar to El Bethel, the God of the house of God. For the church life, to know the God of El Bethel, the God of the house, to know the corporate God, requires a specific consecration. Jacob built an altar. And in Jacob's experience there in the Old Testament, we can see something for ourselves. For the church life, brothers, for the church life, we need another altar. Not just for the God we know individually, and experience and enjoy and appreciate, but to know God as the God of the house.
Amen.
To experience God in the corporate, in the house, in the corporate aspect. There is a further aspect of our experience of God beyond our individual experience of him. He wants us, of course, to consecrate ourselves just to him. That's the individual side. But as we go on, the more we experience him individually, he will bring us to the house. And this requires another consecration, to consecrate ourselves, to build an altar for El Bethel, to know the God of the house.
Amen.
Brothers, may we all have such a realization, such an experience, and such a consecration. How we thank the Lord for what he's done in this country in the past 10 years. It's marvelous in our eyes, but we are burdened that there would be a many experiences, many more brothers could be led into this experience, building an altar at to El Bethel, the God of the house of God, the God whom we know corporately and experience corporately in the church life. So point A, the more we experience Christ, the more something within requires that we live in the proper church life. Point B, when we experience Christ in a genuine and living way, he will require us to get into the church life. Because the dispensing of Christ into us is for the producing of the church. So the more we experience him genuinely, livingly, this requires, I have to be with the brothers. I need to enjoy this mutual flowing. I've consecrated myself to the house, to the God of the house. So he wants to be in the house. And where can I find him? In the house. Brothers, sorry, another little testimony. I can't tell you in the past, I don't know how many years, 10, 20 years, how much I enjoy and am nourished and strengthened to be with the saints. Not only locally, but in conferences, in trainings, to get together with six brothers for lunch, to meet with 30,000 saints in Taiwan. There is an experience in the corporate realm that my personal experience cannot match. It just is not there. So brothers, rise up and go up.
Amen.
Pay the price to gather with the saints.
Amen.
I feel we need an advance inwardly in our realization and our practice, like our brother was burdened. We need to practice getting out of ourselves, out of our routine, to gather with the saints. Yes, it's a price to go all across the country, to go to a different continent, but I saw a good number of you brothers there. I think you all would testify, I experienced a God in a fresh way, God in a corporate way. It was such a blessing and strengthening because he is the God of the house. Today, he's the God of the house. And there is such a supply when we pursue him in the house. And this isn't just in a general vague way. It's very practical. We need to put ourselves. This was Paul's burden for the brothers in Rome. Present your bodies. You have to get there. Put yourself there. Forget your condition. Your condition won't improve on your own. Just get you in your poor condition there. Present our bodies. The God of the house will meet us there. See, God dispenses himself into us as everything for the purpose of gaining his corporate expression, which is the church. When we take Christ as our life, our person, our everything, this Christ within us will require the proper church life. In fact, the Christ in us will become the church life. The Christ in us will become the church life. Now, those of you who are married, point C, God dispenses himself into us as everything. You know, Paul has an interesting word in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. So we need to experience Christ as a husband, as the husband. I cannot love as Christ loved, but he can. He may give you experiences that are for your wife. He wants to have the church life in our married life, not just natural. For this we also need to be crucified, surely, that we would have something of Christ to minister to our co-heir, Not a small term. It's a co-heir, joint heir of the grace of life. He wants to dispense himself into us for our living of the church life in our homes, in our relationship with our spouse. This is the church life experience. Christ living in us, in our home, is for the church life. And it is the church life. The more we experience him in this way, taking him as life person, everything, he will become the church life. I've never heard such terminology. He becomes the church life. He becomes the church life. Point four, the church life is a life of being headed up under the unique headship of Christ. When God created the universe in Genesis 1:1, everything was in order and in harmony. Then Satan came in, and the result was chaos, confusion. It became a heap of collapse. And the more society and culture has gone on through the centuries, the more collapsed it has become. So today, what we see in society, increasing a bigger heap of collapse, just collapse in family structure, in moral standards, business relationships, every aspect, married life, the immorality being promoted by segments of society, a heap of collapse. But God is heading up all things in Christ.
Amen.
This is what's happening in the church life.
Amen.
We are being headed up in Christ.
Amen.
Paul again tells us in Corinthians, the head of every man is Christ.
Amen.
Christ is our head, and we are being headed up in him.
Amen.
God's economy is to head up all things in Christ.
Amen.
What are all things? All things.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. To head up all things in Christ. This will happen. And we in the church are taking the lead in the universe, in creation, in society, to be headed up in Christ. Even in our family life, brothers, we need to take the lead to be headed up in Christ in marriage. As a parent, as a grandparent, as a son, as a grandson, as a student, as someone seeking a career, seeking a life partner in marriage, we need to be headed up in Christ. What career do I choose? Be headed up in Christ for the church life. Where do I live? Be headed up in Christ for the church life. What kind of house? What kind of car? I may have my kind that I like, but how about being headed up in Christ for the church life? To be headed up in Christ in all things. In how I dress, what I do with the material supply he has given me, what do I do with it? Be headed up in Christ in all things. The first step, point A, God is heading up his chosen ones to be the body of Christ, with Christ as the head. The first step in the heading up of all things in Christ is for God to place his sons under the unique headship of Christ. When the church takes the lead to be headed up under the headship of Christ, God has a way to head up all other things. In the proper church life, we are being headed up in Christ. If we do not know, brothers, what it is to be headed up in Christ, we cannot know the church. In the church life, we are taking the lead to be headed up in Christ. For this, we need to grow up into the head, Christ in all things. We need to grow. Roman numeral 5, fellowship is the reality of the church life. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful through whom we were called into the fellowship of his Son. The Apostle John writes, we want you to have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. We want you to have fellowship. Fellowship is the reality of the church life.
Amen.
It's so good to be in the fellowship.
Amen.
It's not just to talk about common things. Oh, yeah, we had good fellowship. We talked about the weather. We talked about politics. We talked about sports. No, you didn't have fellowship. Oh, we talked about our career. No, that's not fellowship. Fellowship is what is with the Father and with the Son and with the brothers. We have fellowship in this divine realm. That is a mutual flowing and enjoyment of life, not only vertically, but horizontally. This fellowship is the reality. Fellowship is the reality of the church life. And he became to us and for us the spirit of reality to guide us into this reality and into all the reality. Fellowship involves not only the oneness between us and the triune God, but also the oneness among all the believers. Fellowship is involved with the oneness. The church is the fellowship, the communion, the co-participation, the mutual enjoyment of Christ. Hallelujah. This is the church life. Fellowship also implies a mutual flowing among the believers. In the New Testament, fellowship describes the flowing both between us and the Lord and between us and one another. The flow, the current that we have in our spiritual fellowship involves both oneness and life. Our fellowship is a flow of oneness. Amen. Fellowship is a flow of oneness. Amen. Praise the Lord for this fellowship. Amen. We have a universal fellowship, Amen. Not only a local fellowship. Praise the Lord for the brothers coming together from all of Canada. Amen. For the flowing of this oneness. This is fellowship. We come together for fellowship. We come together to be in the flow of the divine life, in the current of life. Fellowship is a flow of oneness. This fellowship, this mutual flowing, is the reality of the church life. Romans 6, the church life is the continuation. Oh, this is a good point. They're all good points. The church life is the continuation. And it's marvelous, the continuation of the divine glorification. Amen. The continuation of Christ being glorified by the Father with the divine glory. Amen. So the Lord told us in John 12, if the grain of wheat doesn't, if it remains and doesn't fall into the ground, it what? Abides alone. I was considering that yesterday, last night. It abides alone. Do you feel alone? Don't stay alone, brothers. How can you avoid aloneness? Fall into the ground and die. That will produce much fruit.
Amen.
The Lord said this about himself. And what did he bring forth when he fell into the ground and died? More grains, much fruit. We are here as plus or minus 200 grains. Brought forth in the Lord's resurrection. Well, none of us should remain alone. We should continue in his glorification. He said, and this is my Father glorified. So his falling into the ground and dying and bringing forth fruit was his glorification. The church life is the continuation of this glorification. So brothers, wherever God in his sovereignty has arranged for you to be, or arranges for you to be, there's one thing to do. Fall into the ground. Fall into the ground. Are you burdened for the church in, I think, St. Catherine's? Brother, fall into the ground and die. Wherever we are, this is our burden, brothers. We need to enter into this in an experiential way. Be burdened to die. But death isn't the end. Death is the beginning of having many companions, many grains, for more fellowship, for more church life, for more continuation of the divine glorification. The continuation of Christ being glorified by the Father with the divine glory. This is the church life. It's a continuation of Christ being glorified. Amen. Oh, glorious church life. Amen. Glory is the expression of the divine life and the divine nature. If we live by the divine life and nature, we will express the divine glory. The more we live by the divine life and nature, the more we live by the divine life and the divine nature, the more divine glory there will be in the church.
Amen.
The expression of this glory is the glorification of the Lord Jesus. The divine glorification began with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and it is continuing today. Divine glorification was not a singular event. It is an ongoing process of glorification. The church has been produced in this glorification, and it continues to grow in the divine glorification. And whatever the church does in the matter of fruit bearing is a continuation of the divine glorification. Roman numeral 7, the church life is the corporate expression of Christ. This person, this one who perfected the human living, living a human life, not by his own life, but by the divine life, and has been glorified and is being glorified, this one is seeking a corporate expression. This is the church life, the corporate expression of Christ. The key to the church life as the expression of Christ is the spirit of the mind. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and pray for the renewing, for our renewing, the spirit of the mind. If we live according to the spirit of the mind, there will be in the church life an expression of the divine character. We will be a corporate people with the flavor of Christ and the expression of God. We enjoy a church where there's a flavor of Christ, a fragrance of Christ. Sometimes you go to a place after Germany. I went to London, and I was there with the brothers in the church in London. That was just a fragrance of Christ, a flavor of Christ. It was so enjoyable and so blessed just to smell Christ, to bask, to enjoy such a sweet flavor and fragrance. Undoubtedly, a lot of things are going on, a lot of falling into the ground to produce that kind of fragrance. But what a blessing to have a church life with this fragrance. In our virtues of lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and love, there should be the expression of Christ as the embodiment of the triune God. The church life must be filled with the aroma and flavor of Christ and with the character of God. Such a living is the living of the triune God through our humanity.
Amen.
For centuries, the Lord has been longing for such a church life. We pray that before long, this kind of church life will be fully practiced among us in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
May the Lord be satisfied by seeing such an expression of himself through the recovery of the genuine church life throughout the earth.
Amen.
So we shouldn't feel, oh, the church where I am is not up to this standard. No, we should just pray, Lord, build up this kind of church life.
Amen.
Where I am. We pray positively.
Amen.
For the building up of the church life, this kind of aromatic, flavorful church life, expressed, satisfying us, pleasing God, satisfying him. He's longing for this. He's longing for this throughout Canada, throughout the earth, to see this kind of church life. We can just join him. Our response is to join him in prayer that this kind of church life would be raised up.
Amen.
Brothers, give us some.
Brothers, you will have 10 minutes to respond to this message. Very enjoyable. Each 30 seconds, starting with these three, four. We have to fight for time. Over that side, maybe four brothers to begin with.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The only one who can live the church life is in our spirit.
Amen.
And he is the church life.
Amen.
The church life is a person.
Amen.
So the more, so our responsibility is to be conformed to the death of Christ.
Amen.
To fall into the ground and die.
Amen.
Then in resurrection, he can live.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, the church life is the one new man.
Amen.
Where the emphasis is not that there's so many different cultures, but the emphasis is that there's one person.
Amen.
Christ living himself out, expressed through a corporate man.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a vision of the church. And may the Lord bring us into the exercise,
Amen.
Practice, working out, and living out of such a church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The recovery of the church.
Amen.
This is what the Lord is after today.
Amen.
How beautiful it is to die.
Amen.
How do we overcome? We die.
Amen.
This is what the Lord is after. He's after his builded church.
Amen.
You know, brothers, we are the material.
Amen.
How do we receive more of his life?
Amen.
We die.
Amen.
That's really what he is after.
Amen.
His expression here on earth.
Amen.
And it's all through the death.
Amen.
So do we want it in our locality?
Amen.
We must die, brothers.
Amen.
We overcome by dying.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for this first grain.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we have his life.
Yeah.
And through his life, he will produce the church.
Amen. Amen.
So good to see all you brothers from all over Canada having come together this time, and how sweet it was to hear this word. This word was very touching to me, especially this matter that the issue of the experience of Christ is the church life. And we have had a very good illustration concerning Jacob. How Jacob built the, I'm not going to go through it all, but how Jacob built the altar to El Bethel after he built the altar to the God of Israel.
Amen.
You need two altars,
Amen.
Not one. May the Lord do it in us.
Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord do it in us.
Amen.
Appreciate that the Lord wants to advance.
Amen.
Not just in the recovery of the doctrine of the church, but he wants to advance in the recovery of the church life.
Amen.
So we need to apply what we've seen.
Amen.
Because what is in the Lord's heart is my church.
Amen.
And we can be participants in the recovery of the church life.
Amen.
By realizing something about ourselves, brothers, and that is Jesus Christ lives in us.
Amen.
What we are and all we have is just good for the cross.
Amen.
We need to deny ourselves and live out this precious person in us.
Amen. 2 weeks ago, a brother in Quebec City asked me, how can I live the church life? There's no church here.
Yeah.
I said, brother, isn't Christ in you?
Amen.
Don't you have the life of Christ?
Amen.
If you have the life, you can live the church life.
Amen.
Right? It doesn't matter whether it's lampstand or not. You have the life.
Amen.
That's why 2 Corinthians says, do you not realize about yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you?
Amen.
And the way we live is this crucified life.
Amen.
Amen.
And the church life is a life of being headed up under the unique headship of Christ.
Amen.
And so when we look around us, when we look around at society, everything is a larger and larger heap of collapse. But if the Lord can gain the headship first in us and then in the church, he will eventually head up all things.
Yeah.
And I also appreciated that wherever God in his sovereignty places us or moves us to be, we need to fall into the ground and die.
Amen.
This is the real church life.
We were once brought there that everything was for the church life. But when the church life becomes a routine to us, then we lose that consecration and become going back to our own thing. But I was very touched this morning that this person in us is after church life.
Amen.
If we want to live him, experience him, we are required to be in the church life.
Amen.
And 100% for the church life. I was very touched by that altar that Jacob built. That's a second consecration for the church life, for the house of God. Experience God of the house of God for the house of God. We need to recover this kind of consecration. and experience.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Not any part of the old man can be helpful for the church life. I like to be tested because I have a God in my mind, in my spirit. So I want to be tested in oneness with all the saints and with a serving brother in the church life. And this is the only way. And this is also the reality of the life, because he is a source. He is a supply. Only connect with him can continue our church life in one new man.
Brothers, 10 years ago, almost to the day, 10 years ago, I had a fellowship time with a brother. This was my last term in the training. And I asked him for fellowship on what I should do after the training. I was there with my family, and he gave me two options. I think it took me about 10 years to fully understand. He said, you can either pick up your family and move elsewhere, or you can go back to Winnipeg and fall into the ground and die. And I think the latter is the better of the two options, even though I have felt differently many times. But we need to be burdened to fall into the ground and die.
Amen.
Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless Jehovah builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Amen. Appreciate that we cooperate with the Lord, we participate with the Lord, but we are the material for the Lord, the living stones. The Lord is the builder building his spiritual house.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, brother. Fellowship is the reality of the church.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, they have oneness among all believers.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, that our fellowship is a flow of oneness.
Amen.
This is the reality of the church life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For the centuries of the Lord has been longing for such a church life. The church life full of aroma and flavor of Christ. Is that our church life full of this situation? If not, then we have to repent to the Lord, saying that, Lord, I'm willing to be transformed.
Amen.
So that we can have such a church life full of aroma, full of the flavor of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, the church is Christ's church.
Amen.
I will build my church.
Amen.
Amen.
I think quite many times we teach the new believers, Christ is living in you. But today, I think this word, just a Corinthians, for Corinthians, 3:4, really shine in my heart.
Amen.
Do you not realize about yourselves?
Yes.
So I think this word, this fact, should be real to us.
Yes.
We need to come to the Lord. Lord, Jesus Christ is real, live in us.
Amen.
This is the reality of the recovery of the church.
Amen.
Just would like to repeat the three words, advance in recovery.
Amen.
And my response is advance in my being.
Amen.